Welcome to episode 166 of The Illustrious Gentleman with Scott Godlewski and Ryan Cody. Here we go. The magic is happening.
It's happening.
Week 1000 of quarantine.
Feels like three. How are you?
I know. How you doing over there?
All right, I suppose.
As
anybody can, right?
Right.
You know. 2 weeks left of school. So I've never before looked forward to summer break for my kids, but I am now.
Right. Right, because then it's one less thing for you to. Normally, it's one more thing that you have to worry about. Now it'll be one less thing you have to worry about.
I can let them sit around and watch YouTube all day guilt free.
Right, instead of the guilt you have now.
Right, instead of pretending like I'm trying to teach my first grade or something.
Yeah. Nope, that's going to play into today's conversation is the difference in our lives during this time. You know, back in the day, I used to be so like, oh, I had kids so early, it ruined my 20s. I couldn't, I couldn't go out and be me during my 20s. But you know what? I can sure as hell be me in my 40s now. So, all right. So this is The Illustrious Gentleman. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at TIG_show. Every episode is available at anchor.fm/tigshow, or more importantly, on all the big podcatcher sites like Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, CastBox,
whatever you're using,
Box Catcher, you know, whatever.
Box Pod.
That's right. Ear muffles, whatever you listen to podcasts on, we're probably on there. If you enjoy the show, even if you don't enjoy the show, you should leave us a review, preferably a 5-star review, unless it has like a 10-star option. But I'm assuming it caps out at like 5 stars. Whatever it is, click all the way to the right. Tell your friends, support the show at patreon.com/tigshow. You get video versions of the podcast if you're a Patreon subscriber. And if you go to tigshow.com and click on the links at the top, you can find out where to buy some merch. It's $1 a month, people. Get on the Patreon. Stop making me beg.
Yeah. Good Lord.
I mean, if we double our Patreon income, I can get rid of this Powered by StreamYard logo on the video cast. I mean, that's got to be worth it. There's got to be somebody out there that it'd be like, that's worth $20 to $25 a month just so I don't have to look at that logo.
It's and a then duck I could, with headphones.
That's yeah, and I could put our own logo there instead. I mean, it would be great. It would be perfect.
I never really looked at it. I just assumed that the headphone was the eyeball and it was just a stupid looking duck.
Oh, I thought the headphone was an eyeball as well. There you go. And last but not least, call your local comic shop now that they're starting to reopen in some states and most states. Call your local shop. Ask them to order the Family Tree Volume 1 trade, which comes out the end of this month. Family Tree 5 and 6 are available to order. What a value. Collects the first four issues of Family Trade for $10. It's one of those Family Tree trade. It's one of those sweet-ass $10 image trades. 4 issues, $10.
So sweet.
So sweet. 5 and 6 are available to order as well. That's Family Tree from Image Comics, as well as Young Justice number 16, I'm sure is available to order right now. I'm sure that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Didn't you work on, is it 15 or 16?
15 was the one that I worked on, and then 16's mine.
Okay. So track them both down, you fools. What are you doing? Why do I even have to say this kind of stuff? Scott, I see you with a cup of coffee in your hand. Is there anything else going to go down your gullet today or just that?
I don't know. Maybe some McNuggets later, but for the show, it's just the coffee. I got work to do. I can't afford to sit around the rest of the afternoon and ask, why do I feel like this?
Right. That's why we got to get back. See, we got to get back to we might either have to skip a week or record twice in 1 week, but we got to get back to a Friday afternoon recording. I think I can't limit my drinking to Fridays and Saturdays if we have a show recording on Monday. See what I'm saying? True. That's true. Okay. Well, I'm drinking today. And I was going to be a pro and just do the one drink, one and done. But I got so much accomplished on my new routine already today that I was like, fuck it. It's time to start. So I had a pre-gamer that's mostly water, so I'm hydrating. But my show beer for the day is the Victory Brewing Sour Monkey Sour Brett Triple.
That's a lot of sours.
It's so many sours, it was hard to find anything online about it because they have a Sour Monkey that's not a Brett, but this is the Sour Monkey Sour Brett. Anyways,
what's a Brett?
Brett is that kind of I've had the Brett IPAs. This? Yeah, I've had the Brett IPAs before. They're like a little, almost like what's the word I'm looking for? Like a champagne, like a light, bubbly.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm really taking one for the team here. I actually got this can knowing I was probably going to hate it, but it's 9.5%. Can't snub my nose at that. It's only
worse. Could be a brown Brett.
Yeah, it's only like 10 IBUs, so it's not going to be bitter at all. So if you like strong beers but you don't like IPAs, you should look into sours and look into triples.
Dave Chappelle.
So the only thing I could really find on this specific beer, by the way, it's got a See No Evil monkey on the logo.
Okay.
Okay. I found a review on beerconnoisseur.com. And as you can tell by the website name, it's not going to be anything fun, but I'm going to read it anyways because there's a word in here I like to say out loud. There is a slight puckery astringent quality.
Was from that the it?
Puckery. From the cider-like notes mentioned. Overall, a refreshing beer that overshadows the base beer. A triple should be spicy with a strong round malt flavor. This beer resembles more a cider than a triple, and the Brett character is not prominent enough to balance it.
Oh.
So.
Okay, cool.
The fact that they don't think it's a proper triple, it's probably a good thing for me. So maybe I will like it because I do like the Brett IPAs I've had. Kind of smells like a light beer. That's good. Doesn't smell like bologna.
Ugh.
Like a lot of Belgian beers smell like bologna. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you totally know that most Belgians are bologna juice.
Most Belgians are. Most Belgians smell like bologna.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. I don't have any TikTok segment because Teaser. I haven't started watching anything new. Watched a couple more episodes of Picard because I got to finish that before.
Man. You don't so have to.
Well, I like Star Trek. I've learned, especially when I watch these with my wife, Star Trek is the one geeky thing she's into. And I've decided I think I like Star Trek better than Star Wars. I might have said this before on this podcast. I don't feel bad saying that. The best of Star Wars is always going to be better than the best of Star Trek. But the lump sum of Star Trek is better than the lump sum of Star Wars. IMHO.
Yeah, that's true. I would say of Star Wars that it's less than the sum of its parts as a whole.
Okay, I don't even know how to process.
I don't know. They've made 9 movies, and 4 of them are complete garbage.
Right, they're batting at like a D average.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there are more good movies in a franchise like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm sure there's a higher average.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like I said, the ones that hit really well, and the ones that don't, I could just never watch again, and it won't.
I feel like Empire carries the entire thing.
Yeah, Yeah, so after we spoke last week when we did the when we bashed Rise of Skywalker,
yeah.
I had to watch it again that night with my wife. God. And even she, who is doesn't think critically, doesn't think story-wise, she just wants to be entertained. Even she was like, what? Like, huh? And then she's like, how much time's left? And I'm like, yeah. And then I swear to God, bless her heart, right before, right towards the end, when they're celebrating, she goes, all this is missing is the Ewoks dancing. And then it immediately cut to that scene on Endor. And I swear to God, I'm sorry, the moon of Endor. And she was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I couldn't believe that, because that's how cheesy it was with all the hugging. And
as long as we're talking about last week's show, I think I called Star Wars fans a bunch of idiots at some point. And I want to retract that comment. I'm a firm believer in not hating on somebody because they like what they like. Be a Star Wars fan. That's fine. It's just I don't count myself among the membership anymore, I suppose.
Yeah, but the problem is like I see these things, like I still want to like Star Wars. I'm interested in what's gonna happen, well, what's gonna go on next.
Be interested. Is just because you're in anticipating or you have an interest in something doesn't make you a fan. I feel like everything else today, everything is polarized, and I think today more than ever the term fan is, because I mean it means fanatic, right? Like,
right,
so don't be a Philly fanatic about Star Wars. You can like it, you know, but I can say I like Empire and I like New Hope and I like Jedi and I like Last Jedi and I don't like the other movies, and that I wouldn't say I'm a fan of those movies. I just like those movies, but I don't like the bad movies just because they're Star Wars movies. I think that's the point. Don't defend something you don't like just because it's got a logo on it of something else that you do like. It's stupid.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is the blind loyalty, like people just saying every new movie is the best movie. Like that's not true. That can't be true.
Right. That's what Trumpers do.
Right. I mean,
you know he's a shitbag. You don't have to tell me you support him. Just tell me you vote for your Second Amendment rights or for pro-life or whatever. That's fine, but don't prop this guy up as somebody that represents you when you don't feel that way.
Yeah, I feel like the people who are just blindly fans of, let's say, anything. I mean, I can criticize everything that I love. I can criticize anything, but people that are blindly like vocal fans of like Star Wars, no matter what, they must be like the easiest people on the planet to please. Like living with that person must be heaven, because they probably never complain about anything. They like mac and cheese and frozen chicken nuggets every night. Like, it's like they never. Yeah. I mean, they're just like, you know, they're the beer pussy football of geekdom. Are the Star Wars fans, you know, they're the base jocks. Base geeks are Star Wars fans through and through that won't criticize anything they love.
Yeah, and that's the thing I have a problem with. You like what you like, it's fine. If you sincerely like Rise of Skywalker, right on, man. High five.
But right.
If you thought it was a load of shit, but you have to say you like it because why do you have to say you like it? Who's going to come for you?
Well, their whole identity is the people who love it no matter what, their whole identity is being a Star Wars fan or being a geek fan. So they can't fathom that crumbling. I don't know. I think just no matter what it is, Star Wars aside, if you blindly are a fan of anything and you can't criticize it at all, and you can't be honest, you can't be honest with yourself or honest with your friends about it. That's the problem.
You need to step back. I think it being a fan of the specifics of something under a larger umbrella, I think is kind of problematic. Like, like being a hockey fan or being a baseball fan or a movie fan, or but then to drill down and say I'm a Star Wars fan or I'm a Coyotes fan, you know.
Right.
They're the same thing. They're the same thing.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't watch a Twitch video of two Coyotes players playing two Bruins players on an NHL video game the other day. I'm not saying that didn't happen because I miss hockey so much.
Mm.
But whatever, man.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, they canceled the AHL season. The Tucson Roadrunners, our farm team, were on pace to maybe win the cup there in the AHL, and they canceled the rest of the season.
Sounds about right.
That's a bummer. Yeah. The only way it could have got worse is if the Coyotes had been in the playoffs right now, and then they canceled the NHL season. So that's the only way. That's my life. That's my fandom. Whatever, man. It's fine. I'm cool with it.
So anyway, that's
all right.
I just want to say sorry to everybody. That was
Mean last week.
Yeah, that was terrible. This whole thing is getting to me.
Yeah, you look grumpy. I can tell.
You can't see it because of the shitty contrast on my camera, but my beard is going full Osama bin Laden. It's just shooting out all over the place.
All right, you got to watch out for SEAL Team 6 crashing through your window then. All right, so let's just get into it. One more thing before we get into it.
I'm going to end up sitting in a hut somewhere with a bunch of goats talking about Rise of Skywalker.
That's right. Yeah, they'll all agree with you, though. I played such a fierce round of disc frisbee golf last Saturday that I have a bruise on my finger from how a snap in those drives off the tee.
What do you call that?
I just call it awesome.
There a specific finger or like the hand?
Yeah, it's this finger, but it's on the inside.
I don't know. Like,
it's called the finger
you use to do the motion. Is there a word for that in this sport, or is it just like, is that your dork finger?
I don't know. I mean, it's just the way that I throw. Other people throw differently, but the way I throw, you got two fingers underneath, thumb on top.
Right.
Or I guess you got all four fingers underneath, but two really guide it. Mm-hmm. So when it comes off, the lip of the Frisbee's brushing my snapping finger. Right. So I call it, it's snapping nice. Awesome. It's awesome snapping.
Nice. So it was awesome fierce. Snap.
It was fierce. I took two off my score from a couple of weeks ago. I shot a 16.
Wow.
Oh, 16 over.
16 Eight, over.
18 holes.
Oh, so there's par, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Right.
What do you mean you're confused?
Oh, don't look at me like I'm an asshole.
It's a real fucking sport, man.
I did watch Ultimate Disc on probably some Fox Sports channel. Yeah.
My son plays for the NAU Lumberjacks team.
Oh, yeah. It was LA versus New York, I think. Or maybe it was Houston versus New York. I don't know. But they were playing on a football field, and I didn't understand a lick of what was happening.
Right.
They throw the frisbee. Dude catches the frisbee, but you can't run with the frisbee.
Right. Right.
I don't know what the rules are. Like,
it's like traveling. Once you catch the frisbee, you can only take two steps.
Okay. And then what? Can you move one foot? Can you pivot on one foot like basketball?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like basketball. You could pivot, but then you have to throw the frisbee forward. So it's gotta be a forward lateral.
I was wondering who was making up the crowd at this thing. It's family, right?
Yeah, totally. The other day I turned on ESPN and they had live professional cornhole championship going on, the ACL.
That sounds more exciting. I would watch that.
The best part was they had to all wear PPE, so everyone throwing the cornholes had to have masks on, and they had they made it a point to say there's no crowd allowed, but we have viewing parties at home. And then they cut to the videos of people in their homes watching this, and they were wearing like the same jerseys. Like they bought the jerseys of their favorite Marvel
pros. They cut to the webcams.
Yeah.
And every time they cut, somebody has gotten up to go get something from the fridge. So it's just an empty couch.
Yeah. But I mean, apparently you can buy, sorry, there's like a fruit fly in here fucking with me. But apparently you can buy ACL professional jerseys for your favorite pro cornhole player.
Sure.
So that's something I learned this weekend. Sports did start a little bit this weekend. UFC had an event, but you don't watch UFC, so why are we talking about it? This is one of those shows where I'm excited because you actually came up with the topic, and I want to thank the people on. I want to thank the people who responded to me on Facebook and on Twitter and on the Patreon for show ideas. We'll try to get to some of those in the next coming weeks.
But me first.
But Scott first. Although there's one that we can answer early. There's one we can answer easily. Jesus Christ, I had one drink before we started today. Russ McDowell asked if we could recommend any other Westerns because he watched Deadwood and Unforgiven based on our recommendations. Do we recommend any other Westerns? And
okay, sure.
I can't think of any other Westerns I've ever watched outside of like Young Guns 1 and 2.
Okay. Like, yeah, don't do that.
Come on, man. Classics.
Well, yeah. There's the Man with No Name trilogy, I guess, if you liked Unforgiven. I'm assuming you did. You watched it, and everybody that has seen it loves it. That's kind of the conclusion to the Man with No Name story, the spaghetti westerns, the Sergio Leone.
Unofficial sequel.
Clint Eastwood films, yeah, for a few dollars more, Fistful of Dollars and Good, Bad, and the Ugly. He's got another good one, Once Upon a Time in the West. That's a good one. Who's that? Henry Fonda and Charles Bronson. Not bad. What else? I haven't seen most of the John Wayne Westerns. I just think he's kind of boring in the whole... I don't like the super clean sort of Western vision of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. What else? I feel like there's something... Well, Tarantino's Westerns. Go watch Django and Hateful Eight.
Yeah, I would also throw in there the Coen Brothers remake of True Grit. I enjoyed the one time I watched it.
I don't remember much about it. But yeah, sure, why not?
All right, why not? Okay, so on to Scott time.
And watch Justified.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Oh, that was another thing. Burgers wants us to do more Justified episodes, or more Justified commentary episodes. I feel like we still need to dial in on how we're going to do it. Maybe a season at a time, or maybe we got to figure it out. We're still, you know, we got to do something. Anyways, Scott, you mentioned, I was on a hike the other day. You were messaging me and you mentioned like, how we've talked about this before, trying to get into a schedule to get work done, to manage time, how do we keep working when everything is pushing against us to not work? Is that kind of your idea?
So the germ of this particular discussion came from the interest in busting an art slump. So just sort of, I don't know about you. I've probably talked about it 100 times, but you don't work and then you kind of keep not working. That's what happens to me. Like, I'll finish, you know, you'll finish a book. You'll get the last page in and you think to yourself, oh, well, I deserve a little break. So, you know, you take a day or two off, and then because you do that voluntarily, obviously something is going to happen the next day. So days 3 and 4 or whatever, you're going to get tied up in some project, some household, something or other, or your kids need some shit. And all of a sudden you're off for 4 days and then you just don't do it anymore.
Right.
I get out of it, and it's my art muscle entropies really fast.
Yeah, for me personally, I'm going to base this part of the conversation just based on like coloring. So like the work I do for myself, or that I do for the Creator Own book that I'm doing, that's a little different. I'm still struggling with how to get going. I mean, I'm doing work on it, but it's not the same as if like, I mean, if I get a page in my inbox, that becomes priority to color or whatever. So it's kind of the same. It's similar, but different in the fact that I can color a book, a family tree in 10 days. I don't need 5 weeks. I don't need, you know, I need 2 weeks. When I say 10 days, I don't work on the weekends. I don't know if that's good or bad. It shows that I don't have so much work that I have to work on weekends, but it's probably good for my mental health to not work on weekends. So when I say 10 days, I mean two work weeks. So it's a little different for me. So if I finish an issue, first of all, I don't have pages immediately ready for me usually. So it's not like I roll right into the next issue. I usually have 2 weeks where I can fuck around, blah, blah, blah. And then I knock the book out, you know, or, you know, I pick up a small job. Like I just picked up 8 pages today. I'll do that over the course of this week. That kind of stuff. But yeah, it all goes back to that question of, it's so hard to sit down and work when you don't want to sit down and work, or when so many things are pulling on you.
So yeah, I guess it gets into, you got to drill down even further into the, I don't want to work. Well, why don't you want to work?
Okay.
Do I want to work because I want to sit around? Usually for me, it's, I don't want to work because because my confidence is shot, and I know
that
when I sit down to do it, it's going to be garbage. I'm going to hate it. It's going to feel bad. And then it's going to keep like feeding itself.
Okay. So I guess I went a different way in this. Again, this is where we don't communicate. I created a very strict daily schedule.
That's what I did too.
Okay. So in the hopes that if I follow that for a couple of weeks, it'll then become routine and it'll become something you don't even have to think about. But there is a whole nother discussion about getting inspired, keeping the feeling good about the work you're doing. Like I colored a page this morning. A lot of the pages I get are the family tree lends itself to simplicity. The art's kind of simple. It's not overly detailed. So my colors are kind of simple, not overly detailed. So I colored a page this morning and it didn't take very long at all. So then I'm starting to overthink, like, am I not doing as good a job as I could have done because it only took, you know, X amount of minutes instead of, you know, like I saw Matt Hollingsworth. I follow his YouTube page and I follow him on social media. And he talked about how he started with a page that was already flatted and he did 5.5 hours of work on it. I don't know if I could possibly work on a page for 5.5 hours if I didn't have to flat it first. Like, so then I get in my own head, like, am I doing the best job I can do, or am I just doing it to where I think it's good enough? But with Family Tree, it's already been set. I mean, I'm coloring issue 7. So there's already a template there. I'm following the template. It just happened that I finished early and I was like, okay, well, it looks good. It follows all the other pages before it. It makes sense storytelling wise. Get out of my head, stop beating myself up for it, take the win, you know, because if I color a page in a couple hours, I make really good money. You know, I make really good money for the time I put into that. So stop like beating myself up over it. So that's a whole nother conversation though about confidence. Today's show is about routine. So I did research some stuff online real quick. Let's do our ad and then I'll read a couple stuff and then we'll get into what we did for our schedule. So we'll take our ad break right here. Yeah, routine becoming habit, I think, is the phrase I'm trying to drill into my head this week. And by routine, I mean schedule. All right. So I pulled up this website. I don't even know if I need to plug it. Anyways, just this guy talked. He has some quotes from a couple writers, jamesclear.com. He might be a writer. I don't know. He had a couple quotes that I pulled from famous writers because there's not a lot of, I mean, I couldn't find a website that had a bunch of comic book artists talking about their daily schedule. But Henry Miller, again, author. I don't know either of these authors. I'm not very educated as far as books. But he has a quote. It said, "When you can't create, you can work." And I like that. You might be able to still do the work and not feel creative, but it's got to be done. Some of it's very routine, you know, talking, you know, talking head scenes and stuff like that. He also advised to work on one thing at a time until it's finished. Don't jump around. If you have more than one project, don't jump around, you know, blah, blah. And then he also, this is what I really agree with. Cause I'm the older I get, and maybe it's cause I don't have enough work, or maybe it's because I like the idea, but the older I get, I don't believe in a strict 40-hour work week. Why hammer yourself to do 40 to 60 to 80 hours of work a week? He has a comment, a note, keep human, see people, go places, have a drink if you feel like having a drink. Like, just don't not be who you want to be, or don't discard something that you feel like you should be doing because you think it's going to interfere with work.
Right.
Which kind of is counteractive to keeping a schedule, but not necessarily. And then here's a couple things I'm gonna read off from Nathan Englander, again a writer. I don't know who this guy is. Turn off your cell phone. If you want to get work done, you've got to learn to unplug. No texting, no email, no Facebook, no Instagram. Mm-hmm. You need to stop doing all this while you work. Yeah. Push yourself. Oh, here's another one. Pushing yourself physically prepares you to work hard mentally. So a lot of the authors quoted on the page mentioned doing daily exercise actually helps their workflow. So rather than sit around and beat yourself up for 2 hours, take a walk for an hour. When you come back, you might get right to work. You know, you might get as much done in an hour if you took an hour off than 2 hours just doodling at the table and just feeling shitty. And then the last one here is do the most important thing first, so you aren't battling to fit it in among your daily activities. So at the end of the day, if you don't hit your daily goal, if you don't hit your daily goal at the end of the day, you at least got that done, right? Like today, I colored that page. So worst case scenario, if the rest of today was a complete bust and I blew my whole schedule for the day, I still colored the page that was in my inbox. I still made, you know, X amount of dollars for today's work. So I do like that. And I put that into my schedule. I took that into account a little bit in my schedule I made for myself. But the one thing that's unique to you, or not unique, sorry, not unique to you at all, but that separates us drastically is the kids thing. My routine, my schedule was so easy to plan because I don't have young kids at home. I literally have zero restraints on my time pretty much, unless I'm going to go, like, the only restraints on my time are driving my kid to work or picking him up. And if I'm with my wife, I'm not going to work past 5 so that I can spend time with her at night. But those are the only two. I don't have interruptions during the day. I don't have anything like that because I essentially live with an adult child. I mean, he's 17, almost 17. So this was so easy for me. I actually had so much fun doing it. I feel like I need something. Like, I need a goal written down so that I don't just sit around and do nothing. Like, I have to look and be like, oh shit, I need to get this done so that I can do this. Like, I think it's my OCD.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, you have the kids. And when I posted for ideas on routines on Facebook, everyone who responded also has young kids. So they all,
and then the answer is like, no.
Yeah. Well, so this is two prong. They all mentioned they have to build their schedule around their family, which I get, but it's also interesting. And this is going to make me sound like a fucking asshole or whatever, but anyways, one thing I've noticed is, as a comic book artist or anybody who works from home, I only know my own experience. It's almost like in the back of your head that your job is less important because you're at home and your partner's at work. So there's that self-imposed guilt. We've talked about this before, but there's that self-imposed guilt. So we always defer to everyone else's schedule and set our schedule last. So we'll do chores during the day. You know, we'll take on the household burden. And in my case, I do it because honestly, I don't make as much money as my partner. So I feel like, you know, if she's going to carry the weight financially, then I should do more at home. But I feel like every comic book artist who works from home feels like they have to do the laundry, they have to do the dishes because they're just there. So it's just it's kind of a bullshit thing when you add it on to all the other stresses in life. We're supposed to do and most comic book artists work more than 40 hours a week. So they're doing this on top of a time intensive job. I don't fall into that category, but I recognize it as very common in our industry. So is it just because we're at home? And if you walk by a dirty sink, you feel like you have to do the dishes, or because I would say 90% of the time it's all self-imposed. I don't know anyone whose wife would come home and be like, why didn't you do the fucking laundry? You know, all you're doing is drawing comics sure. all day. But we just assume that's what's going to happen, right? We just assume that's our job.
And it's easier to do all of that stuff when you don't feel like working or you don't feel like you can work.
Right.
So then it's, I need to be of value somehow. Okay. Correct. I'll do dishes. I'll do laundry.
Right.
And then your day becomes just that instead of working.
Right. So then you become of value to your family, but you're not of value to your employer.
Right.
Right.
And so, then also you're not of value to your family because you haven't made any money today.
Right. And you're not of value to yourself because I mean, I know personally I can do the dishes. I mean, and sometimes to procrastinate, I will deep clean something or I will do all the shit in the house. Mm. And then at night, as I'm going to bed, I don't feel accomplished. I feel shitty because I didn't do the work that I quote unquote, I didn't work in my field or I basically didn't work that day. Right. Like I could spend all day cleaning the house, all day doing all this shit, running errands and doing chores for everybody. And I'll go to bed feeling like I didn't do anything because in my mind, money is everything. Money, doing chores doesn't pay the bills, you know, all that stuff. You got to do work to get paid. So I'll go to bed and I'll feel shittier than if I didn't do anything all day.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a constant back and forth. So when I planned out my routine, I tried to take that into account. I tried to schedule everything out. And again, that's super OCD, but I know you're OCD as well. So
not really.
You say not really? I tried to get away from it the last couple of years. Like my wife makes fun of me because if like we're on a cross country drive, I will look at the miles to go. I'll look at my speedometer and I will tell her we're going to be there by 4:23 or else I failed. If we're not there by 4:23, I did something wrong, you know? And then whenever we hit traffic, I get shitty because it's everything to me is math, right? Everything is mileage counting down. Like I'm obsessed with mile markers. So if you're going west, they count,
you're Will Hunting.
Yes. It drives me nuts. So I tried to get away from that the last couple of years, cause my wife would tell me like, you're just stressing yourself out over everything. I tried to get away from it. This week, I'm going to lean back into it because I feel like I need to lean into it for a couple months to get discipline back into my life.
Yeah, you need it. You need to put it towards good.
Yes.
It can be a superpower.
Yeah. All right. So I've been talking a lot already. Let's
talk about the plans.
Let's go with your schedule first, your plan first, and then we'll go to me.
Sure. I came up with my plan, I guess is probably the day that I talked to you about it. The idea, the germ again for this entire episode was came out of the last appointment I had with my therapist where I was talking about work and not being able to work. And I've thought forever and ever, and people have told me forever and ever that I need a schedule. And 6 years now, I guess, into doing art full time, I'm going to try. Because if it's not this, then what? You know?
Yep.
I don't have any value anywhere else. So let's do it.
Yeah. All right.
So my plan, you want to hear mine? Should we go back and forth? Do you want to hear morning?
It'll be easier, I think, if we go one at a time. So why don't you just go ahead, go through your day, your proposed. Right. And I should say, we should say that the idea behind this activity experiment, blah, 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 is we're going to try to stick to it all week and then we'll follow up next week.
Yeah. That was the idea, right?
Let's put it to
the test. And on the next episode, we'll check in and see how it's going.
Correct. All right.
So, nice.
Fire away, good buddy.
Okay. So I've got getting up no later than 6:30. Seems pretty reasonable. Even if I go to bed at midnight, I'm a 6 to 7 hour kind of guy. Any more than that, I just feel crappy.
Yeah.
So let's do that. I have been doing a lot less of this since everybody's been home, but getting up and getting showered and taking care of yourself first thing in the morning to feel like I'm going somewhere. I even had almost the inclination to have work shirts made. I'll get something with a logo on it or something, so I have a uniform to wear every morning so I feel like I'm going to work. Maybe I should just put a tie on or something. I don't know.
Right. Okay, I'll go back to keep going through it, and then I'll take my notes.
So an idea my therapist had for the start of your work day would be to do something that's repeatable every day, right? You want to get the Pavlov's dog scenario going on. So he suggested once you pick a song. So you sit down, you get your stuff out, you get set up, you play this song before you get doing anything every day when you sit down to work. And, you know, the routine is going to build up, the habit's going to build up. Right. Eventually the song is going to just...
It's going to get you pumped as fuck.
It's going to click on the...
Right.
The work brain.
Okay.
So, all right. So I will do that. I'll build that into my schedule. A lot of what I do during the day, I find, is finding stuff to sort of occupy my brain as I work. So whether that be pulling up YouTube and putting a YouTube thing on, putting on a podcast or something. YouTube's problematic because it takes your eyes somewhere. Same thing with TVs and movies and shit. Right. So yeah, I'm just going to pick a podcast and I'm just going to hit play on the playlist and I'll just let it go all day. So I don't have to think about finding something else or what episode I'm going to play of what. I'll just let the one thing play all day.
Okay.
What else I got? So you open your thing, you sit down. So I've got work in front of me now and I'm going to start with the hardest piece of the page. So,
right.
I conquer that sort of. A lot of my hesitation with sitting down and actually doing the work is fear. Mm-hmm. So, if I can identify what I think is going to be the worst part of it, either because it's going to take so much time and work, or because I don't feel good about this particular piece. If I can get through that first, then everything else is theoretically just downhill after that. Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like going back to the, do the most important thing first, do the hardest thing first.
Okay. Yeah. The note here was start with the hardest piece or with background work. So I something I have also found, I mean, I've been doing this for, I have a large enough sample size where I should be able to piece together a solution of things that work and things that don't.
Yeah.
One of the things I have found is that if I get into doing like perspective work or background work and sort of just building something that's not as subjective as figure work and line selection and shit, that it eases my brain into doing the other stuff, especially when you get a piece of I enjoy doing that sort of stuff. So it'll get me going. I'll get into it. And all of a sudden I'm not thinking about it anymore. I'm just doing it. And that's what you want. And another thing I've found, excuse me, is that even when you don't want to work, even when things aren't working, it'll work itself out given enough time. And thinking back and noting how I felt about particular things at particular times, when I feel like that, it takes me an average of 2 to 3 hours to work out the shittiness. So I want to start my workday with 3 uninterrupted hours of good work, where I'm not getting up, I'm not getting things for the kids, and I'm not letting dogs out or whatever. And then, so, okay, so I'm up at 6:30. I do the shower and shit. Ideally, I'm sitting down with work at 7. So from 7 to 10, it's just work.
Yep. That's when my workday starts on my schedule.
So that's what I want to do. And I have my first scheduled break. My first scheduled break is going to be work-related tasks only. So then at 10, I'll take a break, 15 minutes or whatever. I'll check emails. I don't know what else would be work-related for me.
Right.
So I'll check emails. Oh,
print, well, you could scripts, throw
more things.
Yeah. You could also throw, I mean, you don't, I think you still haven't grasped this thing that I've been trying to get you on, but you need to start understanding that, like, posting to social media, if it's an art post, is work. Building a brand. So you could do that in that time as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Take your screenshots while you're working, post them at that block of time. Or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That's fine. Right. Yeah. Reply to comments or whatever. Sure. That's fine. So then I guess after 10:15, it's just going to be sort of piecemeal working for me. It's getting kids lunch. It's getting them to start their homework. It's whatever the fuck else, whatever comes up during the day that I need to do. But hopefully after those 3 hours, my brain's just in that place.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I sit down, even if I get interrupted after 5 minutes, my brain's already there and I don't have to take time getting back into it.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally I want to end the workday with 3 uninterrupted hours, whether that's 1 to 4 or even worst case scenario being like 9 to midnight or something.
Okay.
I want to end the day with my brain being in work mode. So then when I get up, it's easier to get into it.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm trying to write notes to ask you later. Okay. So what is your afternoon look like?
My afternoon's going to be whatever it is. That's the biggest, at least I figure from 10 to 1. At least is going to be time for other things, whatever anybody needs me for, at least for the next 2 weeks with school and shit.
Right. Are you trying to set so on mine, I'm also writing down a daily goal.
Yeah.
And that could backfire, because if I go 2 days and I don't hit it, then I could feel bad and maybe it backfires and I backslide. But I feel like I also need that to maybe push an extra half hour at night or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So are you, as someone who's mostly right now, exclusively right now, penciler and inker, are you shooting for like a page a day?
Yeah. And another, that's what I need. Like, I was telling, like, again, I'm going to talk about my last therapy session.
I like this guy. I like this guy a lot. Yeah.
He's not bad. I was talking about like when I get an assignment. So if it's 20 pages, I think to myself, okay, well, if it's 4 weeks, 5 pages a week, a page a day, not too bad. Then I can expect X amount of dollars a week. So that's how my brain sort of goes into it, is by the week, and it never goes that way. So I need to break it down further. I need to do it by day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'd be advantageous for me to go further and say, okay, by the end of my first 3 hours, I need to be finished penciling this page. Pencils need to be done. So when I come back to it and it's ready to rock with angst, and I can, right. I can finish it out that way.
And do you feel that you're, so when you say pencils, you already did sent your layouts. So you right. feel that when you are done penciling a page, is that all the hard work? Can you piecemeal inks? Can you be interrupted every 15 minutes while inking? And it's not the same as if you're interrupted while doing layouts or pencils. Like, is it more busy work? Inking is more busy work, or do you still do so much drawing and inking that it's the same?
No. I do all my decision making in pencils.
Okay.
So I want inks to be sort of the autopilot.
Right. That's what I was. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then how are you approaching your nights then? You mentioned you just want to have 3 hours to finish the day strong as well.
Yeah. Wherever I could fit it in.
That could be any time though.
It could be.
But how do you feel about working at night? Like, I used to feel super creative working at night, mm-hmm. but now I'm trying to transition to a different schedule and I found myself not wanting to work at night. Like, does it matter to you or? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's, I'm going to have to make the effort to carve out that time during the day before 5 or 6 o'clock. But if it demands it to meet my personal, goal for the day and really what needs to happen to keep me on pace with deadline and, to keep my bank account on pace with bills, then I'm going to have to, if I got to dip into the PM hours, then it's going to be something I'm going to have to do. I don't know. Like the guilt part.
Cause there is guilt when you have a family, there is guilt if you're working at night. If your partner goes to bed every night at a certain amount of time and you never go to bed with them at a certain amount of time, or kids want to spend time with you at night before they go to bed.
Working digitally, I think, obviously there's a greater advantage to that in that arena, because I can plop myself down next to my kid in bed. While I'm putting them in bed, falling asleep, or on the couch to watch a show or something. But again, it's just
the work has to get done.
I know there are guys that have that schedule and have have that drop dead time where they won't do anything. I have never felt the need for it. I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could put my foot down and say, even though I really need to work Sunday night, I'm not going to because it's Sunday night,
Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
if I went into an office, it would be different. I'd be like,
right. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. Like, have you considered, cause you have a gangplank not too far from your house. Have you considered leaving the house to work? Current situation might affect any decisions. Like, current pandemic might affect any of those decisions, but do you feel like if you were able to leave the house for that 3 hour block, do you feel like you could get more done, or do you feel like you would do the same shit there that you would do at home?
Either way, I would have to be more focused, and going somewhere to do it is only going to take time out of that 3 hours.
Right.
So it's going to, however long it takes to get there. If I'm spending a half hour in the car, I'm going to feel worse about that than. Yeah. So,
true that.
So no, I'm just going to stay and sequester myself somewhere and do what I can.
Okay.
The thing is also is setting expectations of everybody else in the house.
Right. That was one of my notes I wrote when you were talking was your family. And again, I can't reiterate the difference between our situations, but you have 4 other people that have to understand you have to work. So you want to do, if my PhD level math skills are correct, you want to do 6 dedicated hours of work and then piecemeal a couple hours after, you know, whenever you can.
That makes the most sense to me, given
right. So they have to understand for at least those 6 dedicated hours.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
No, and but have you had that conversation with them? Like, from here to here to here to here, you can't come bother me with every little thing. Because I mean, that's the thing is, be working from home. That's the downfall of working from home. Right. Is you're literally a door away from every little problem.
Right. I have not put this into effect yet. I didn't write any of this down till Friday, I think. It's like Friday afternoon, so I couldn't do it then. Weekends just throw shit right out the fucking window.
Right.
And I didn't start this today because I had to get stuff done this morning. So I got up at 3 to work this morning. So it was a little sooner than this, but, and I didn't have the same goals as I would on an average day. So tomorrow I'll start this thing proper. I'll have the discussion with everybody. Maybe I'll get a sign to wear around my neck. It says,
right.
Out of office or something. Or...
yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like your idea. I'm kind of doing, it's interesting how our schedules are kind of very similar. The way we're bookending things.
I'll have to get a hat made like Frank on 30 Rock.
Yeah.
It says, yeah,
I'm working. Leave me alone.
Do not disturb or something. Right. So when dad's wearing the hat, you know, to fuck off.
Right. Yeah. So we have a very similar schedule. You mentioned you get by on 6.5 to 7 hours of sleep a night. I think I can function perfectly well at 7, but I put in myself a solid 8. Because as the older I get, I'm realizing I need more sleep. So my note actually says lack of sleep is a young man's game. I can't go 3-4 days in a row with 6 to 7 hours.
I found that it's harder for me to stay up, but it's not harder for me to get
going.
Like 6 hours, and it's not hard for me to wake up. But
right.
The older I get, the later into the night it gets, it's harder for me to stay up. So like after putting the kids to bed, when I'm done with that at like 9:30, I'm like, fuck this. I'm just gonna go lay down.
Right. Yeah. Like I've actually, so with my schedule, I want to wake up at 6:15 every morning. So I've actually started leaving my blinds open. The sun comes up like 5:45. You slowly, so I rarely am not awake when my alarm goes off, or when my alarm goes off at 6:15, it's not like jarring, like I'm already half awake. So I set my morning alarm now for 6:15. And then from 6:15 to 7, I have my, hey puppy, I have my like coffee time. I make the bed. I try to, like you mentioned, get ready for work. So I make my bed, I get dressed, I get my coffee, I take care of like myself. Like I'm not showering in the mornings, but I want to brush my teeth, get shoes on. That's a big thing. Like, part of me doesn't like wearing shoes in the house. Maybe that's from living in Japan, but I feel like if I have shoes on, then that's one less thing I got to do later. But so get fully dressed and also take that time to check my social media feeds of whatever I missed overnight. If anything I need to respond to, email, social media bullshit. And then at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., do that work. Like you mentioned, start at 7, do that work. I made a note while you were talking. You talked about like the most important thing that needs to get done, like your daily nut. I want to do billable work in that time. So if I have my own like book to work on, but I also have a page to color that pays the bills, I'll do all that work first. So that worst case scenario after 9 a.m., I know I can bill for at least a little bit that day. You know, the whole day is not a complete waste. I'm not a piece of shit at 9:01 if nothing works out. So 7 to 9 work. I did put myself in from 9 a.m. to 12:30 is because my son has a job. And so 3 days a week, I have to drive him to work. That falls into this time. So from 9 a.m. to 12:30 is breakfast, running errands, checking email, checking social media, and then doing my daily walk. Like today I did like 5.2 miles on the trail, you know, like, or on the asphalt trail, the urban trail. Get all that done. So before I even hit lunch, I've done my grocery shopping. I've done already a couple hours of work, and I've done my daily exercise, you know, before even lunchtime hits.
Nice.
So when I schedule myself for work, though, I also will stop to answer emails and shit, because that's work to me. So I'm not that like anal to where I'm not online at all during that time. And then that gives me a 4-hour block from 12:30 to 4:30 to where I eat lunch and then I work. So that already puts me at 6.5 hours for the day by the time 4:30 rolls around. 4:30 to 6:30, again, I got to pick up my son from work. So that's, I gave myself 2 hours to run errands, pick him up, make dinner, you know, do the dishes. It's just the two of us, so I do the dishes. And then 6:30 to 8, I gave myself another like hour and a half, kind of your like middle in day. Like I gave myself an extra hour and a half to just wrap up any work for the day. I want to be done with work by 8. That would put me at 7.5 hours every day. Every day that I'm up here. Like I said, I have like 3 schedules. I have days that he works and I got to drive him, days that my wife's here or I'm down there, and then days where I have no time restraints at all on me. So I'm trying to average 7 to 7.5 hours of work. And then from 8 to like 10, that's my like cool down, calm down, maybe watch an episode of TV. You mentioned podcasts earlier. I figured out during this quarantine, I don't like binging TV shows. I don't like watching TV really that much unless it's sports. I don't give a shit about it. So like I'm good with podcasts during the day, but maybe I'll watch one episode of like Ozark or something before bed. And then I shower and I want to be in bed by 10 if my alarm is set for 6:15, because it's going to take me like a half hour to fall asleep. So if I'm in bed by 10, 10:30, I'm asleep by 11. I'm up at 6:15. And this schedule obviously changes. Like my 7.5 hour workday becomes a 6 hour workday when I'm with my wife, because I don't want to work past 5. But if I have to, I can. I got the tablet. I can work past 5 if I need to. I don't love, the older I get, the less I love working at night. I used to love working at night because it's, no one bothers you at night. No one bothers you from midnight to 4 or midnight to 6. There's nobody's going to fucking bother you. But yeah, I started today and yeah, I colored a page already. I got my daily nut out of the way this morning. I did my walk. I got all my errands done. I made a drink by like, you know, noon. And my whole second half of the day, the work I'm doing is podcast work. So I don't have to draw anymore today. But yeah, I think it's going to be good. And I like the idea of having these times blocked in. Like,
yeah. I like the idea. I like having an idea of what's supposed to be done. I'm not going to be super concrete with mine because I don't want to get frustrated or put off my stroke when things don't go
right
the way they're supposed to be going.
It's important to manage your stroke.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. This is what I'm going to shoot for. It's what I hope for. And yeah, so we're going to do this over the next week and the next time, we fill up your ear holes. We will have hopefully some results, positive results.
Yeah, I mean,
something will have happened.
Right. With my daily schedule, like my daily goals, if I look at Monday through Friday, I should do a lot of work this week. And if I don't, it's me. It's my fault.
Now, there are going to be alterations. There are going to be things you're going to find that don't work for you. Maybe we should hold off on those things until we revisit this next week. So if I find, this time is really inconvenient, be easier to do this time, I'm just going to power through this week with the schedule that I have set up. And then if we have things we need to change, maybe we can talk about that next week and then make the changes then.
Yeah, no, I'm into that. Like I said, my OCD, I love this. I think it was, I want to give a shout out to everyone who really contributed to the thread. on Facebook, Tony Parker, Jim Hanna, Kelly Williams, who else? Gonzo, Jay Gonzo. Yeah, a lot of them just mentioned how helpful it is to them, but a lot of them have kids. Like people that I talked to on Twitter, one guy was like, well, I have two, or Andy Poole, shout out to Andy Poole, colorist. He's like, he has two 10-month-old twins.
Ugh.
So he's like, nothing gets done from, you know, this time to this time, and I work around it. Everyone seems to work around their family schedule, which again, I understand is important, but again, I'm tired of feeling as if, and I'm going to say we, I'm talking about myself and other creatives, not necessarily anyone specific. I'm tired of feeling less important because I work from home and I work 2 feet away from my bed. That doesn't mean that I'm not working. It doesn't mean that I'm not contributing. And no one makes me feel like I'm not contributing. It's a mental, right. it's my own self. You know, no one has ever made me put anything on me, but I'm tired of feeling like my time isn't as important as everyone else's time just because I happen to work in my bedroom. So that's something, that's a mental thing I got to work on or whatever. But yeah, next week we'll follow up on this. Maybe next week we'll talk about confidence in work, in our work. Cause that's a big thing too. If you're feeling confident, you get to work immediately. If you're not feeling confident, it's easy to dick around. So, yeah, we're good. You don't have a drink to talk about this week except for coffee. So I'm going to rate my victory Sour Monkey, Sour Brett triple. Like I said, 9.5%. It's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be for a sour beer, which I normally do not like. It's pretty good. Well, whatever. It's fine. I'm going to give it 3.5. It was tasty enough and it's strong enough. But also, as I get older, I realize I don't know how strong beer I can handle. I drank the other night and I woke up. I just wake up next morning just feeling like shit if I drink a lot now. Like it must just be age. I'm not quite sure.
Wow. It sounds like there's a routine in there too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the routine is I'm down to 3 days a week drinking. I'd like to get down to 2 days a week drinking. Yeah. All right. Talk to your local comic shop. Tell them to order Family Tree. Tell them to order Young Justice. Anything else, buddy? Or do you want to just do what you do?
Yeah, I'm just going to do what I do, I suppose. Bye, me.
Bye, Scott. Tickshow.com.